The title of tonight's study is Worship and Serve. Let's go before the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, Father, for what we are about to receive, Father. We pray and ask, Father, that you open up our hearts and our minds and let us receive your word with thanksgiving, Lord. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the lesson that we will have tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Worship is focusing on and loving God, right? It's reverence and devotion. So can we become godly without worshiping God?
No.
No. It's impossible. It's an impossible thing. Turn to Matthew 4:10.
Would you repeat that, Gary? I didn't hear you.
Oh, the question was, can we become godly without worshiping God?
Emphatically, no.
No. So turn to Matthew 4:10 and look what Jesus said. You'll remember this as soon as we start. Well, we'll start at verse 8 to get the whole picture here. Okay? What Jesus said to Satan. Everyone there?
No.
Matthew 4, 8, and we'll go through 10.
Right after 8 through 10.
We're going to focus on 10. Okay? Everyone there? Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Amen.
Amen.
So that answers the questions that we cannot become godly without worshiping God. How about, can we worship Him in vain?
Yes.
Yes. We can worship God in vain. Turn to Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. And here again, Jesus addressing the hypocrites, he says in verse 8, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrine." Now this is very important that we catch this. Teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Instead of preaching the word of God, they teach the world stuff. And they call that worship. And it's not. It's not true worship. It's in vain. So worship is difficult to define well. Do you agree with that? Amen? It's hard to define. It really is. Let's say I'm a newborn Christian. And I'm wanting to know how to worship God in spirit and truth. How would we answer that person? How do we answer it? Okay. Yeah, I agree. It's from heart. All right. But I believe we must start with the proper worth to ascribe to God. All right. And you're going to see this as we go through the scripture. God's love has to come into view here in John 3:16 through 18. So if you'll turn over there. John 3:16, we know this verse by heart. But do you know the rest of the verses that follow? So we're going to read verses 16 through 18. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." So, after reading this, what kind of worth would you ascribe to God? Look at the scriptures. What kind of worth would you ascribe to him?
Love.
How about Redeemer? You see this in these three verses. So you would ascribe to God, he's my Redeemer. Right? Is that true?
Yes.
What else? What else do you see in these?
But he's my everything.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. How about love? Doesn't it start out, "For God so loved the world"?
Compassion.
Yeah. How about Father? Would you ascribe to him as your Heavenly Father? Sure. How about Giver? He gave his only Son. so we could come to know him.
Compassionate one.
How about passionate one, yeah. How about gift giver? See, these type of things, huh?
Patience,
yeah. How about encourager? These scriptures that we just read, right, aren't they very encouraging to you? Don't they just build you up and just want you want to worship God that way? And it's him that's causing it?
He's my life.
Yeah. Yeah. See, so we ascribe those times. And that's how we actually become to come to worship him correctly in spirit and truth. When we ascribe these type of things to him, because we can understand those, right? But what we can't understand is, like, we're in Genesis right now, in the creation of the world, how God did it all, and how he started out in doing it. I mean, for me, that's hard to understand. You can't grasp everything that you're reading there unless it is revealed to you by the Holy Spirit. True?
Yes.
Is that true? Yeah. So our own understanding, we just fall short. And then our worship becomes vain when we don't have that understanding. I'm going to show you some more here in just a little bit. So let's turn to Revelation 4, 8 through 11, and see how those around the throne of God ascribe worth to him.
Sorry, can you
get... Revelations? Revelation, you did that, 4, 8 through 11. You guys will remember these as soon as we start reading them. Get to the right page here. Everyone there? Okay, and the four living creatures, each one of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within, and day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before him who sits on the throne and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will they existed and were created." So you see the worth that these around the throne are giving to God? You see it? What kind of things do we see there? Yeah?
Glory and honor.
Glory and honor, yeah.
Consistent praise.
Consistent praise, yeah. Yeah. And you see the elders throwing down their crowns. Those crowns were given by God. We're going to receive crowns when we go to heaven, and they just throw theirs down because of the greatness of God. They just throw them away. They're worthless. but we see the worth of God. He's, like you said, he's the Creator. He created all things, and they came into existence by His will. By His will. So look over to the left in chapter 5, 11 through 14, and we read this. "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and might, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every created thing which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and on the sea, and all the things in them, I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb, be blessing, and honor, and glory, and dominion, forever and ever.' And the four living creatures kept saying, 'Amen,' and the elders fell down and worshipped." So you see the worth that the angels ascribe to him, and how they worship him in spirit and truth. How it all just flows together. This is what I believe is that we have to give God worth before we can properly worship him. We have to. Go ahead, Manny.
Correct me if I'm wrong. What I'm hearing.
is that our worship for God, and there's a lot of praise going on right now because there's a lot of results that are coming out negative in the medical world for our congregation and people involved with it, with problems and suffering and so forth. And when Jesus was asked by John the Baptist, are you the one, or shall I seek for another? His response was not, you know who I am. Mm-hmm. It's look at the works.
At the works.
Look at what you've been told and what has been going on. Each one of the verses you've chosen tonight, I see them. They're not going, thank you for giving me this. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for what you did over here. And thank you. They're giving him the honor and glory for who he is and his character of what he does.
Amen.
The love and the grace and the mercy and all the things.
Yes.
And that's where, because the Bible tells us, who could know our heart? It's exceedingly wicked. So when we say, oh, I'm worshiping from my heart, truly, we don't know if we have a different motive. God knows.
Amen.
He sees the heart.
Yes.
So our worship can only start when we recognize who he is, what he has done, the work, as you're saying. But it's not in we worship him in repayment for what he's done. His evidence of his might, his glory, his magnificence. Is that where what you're saying? That's the message in here?
Yeah. Okay. He has given us life from the beginning. He has fulfilled all of our needs throughout the whole our whole time on this earth, and we have a life afterwards.
Amen.
See, we do not know what our future is day by day, but we know what our future is
at the end.
At the end.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's all we should really be thankful for.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the prime thing you should be thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happens here, it's the end game that really counts. The battle's already been won.
It's already taken place and conquered. Go ahead.
Well, and I think also, too, that worship, you know, if we really understand the character of God, when we worship him, it's also a gift to us because I get the most revelation when I am in worship. You know, it's him speaking to our spirit as well. So it's a communication as well.
See, and it's that spirit that he gave to us and created us the same way. No, that's wrong. I won't say that. That's wrong. Anyway, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, that I think, too, that in order to worship Jesus fully, you have to look at yourself and know that you are worthless. You are nothing.
Sure.
And
that's,
That, you know, because, you know, if you're all, you know, like, so spun up and, you know, with all that he's done and everything, it makes you, sometimes it can make you not humble, but more proud, you know. And so I think your worth has to, you know, you really have to.
Yeah. That's when we realize that we do have worth. God loves us.
Right.
And we have that worth or he wouldn't. But when we read back in John 3:16, he loves the whole world.
Yes. But not because we deserve it. He just loves us because that's what his nature is.
Yes.
It's hard to understand that somebody could.
So
love
therefore,
him.
We can worship him in that
absolutely.
In that perspective, in that realm right there, in spirit.
Wow.
In spirit. So that's how we're supposed to worship him, as each one of you have implied. Go ahead.
Satan and all the demons, they know God.
Yeah, they sure do.
They know he's the creator. They see his glory, his might. And I've met people who acknowledge the creator. They know Christ is his son. But something has to change in here because just knowing that and acknowledging that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's not enough. It's not. Something has to happen. And what that happening is when the Holy Spirit enters into our lives and leads us and guides us into all that Jesus has done and said.
When we surrender.
And that's when we move into that area of spirit and truth. and not from the flesh. I mean, we can worship from our knowledge if we want to. We have that right. But it's not right. It would be vain. Yeah.
That's what we call religion.
Religion. Yeah. Exactly right. It would be vain. Mm-hmm.
That's when he says, "I don't know you."
Yeah. Didn't we play it hard for you? Didn't we play this and that for you? And Jesus said, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you doers."
Yeah.
Coming. Do not concern you. Limit the worship as just singing. Worship is a life, the way we live.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The way we serve and the way we give.
Mm-hmm.
Not just to church, giving to one another. Like you guys, some of you guys did for Artie. That's a part of worship for God.
Mm-hmm. And when we pray for one another, that's yes. part of worship for God, for our Heavenly Father. So the more we focus on God and Jesus and draw closer and closer to them, the more we will worship in spirit and truth. So that's vital in our lives. We have to draw near and nearer and nearer to God. For me, it took a while because I had one foot in the church and one foot still in the world. I still remember those days. I mean, walking around proclaiming that Jesus is Lord and Jesus is my Savior and drinking like a skunk, you know. So, and going out on, you know, when Saturday, that was a weekend guy. And that's the way my life was for a long time. My wife can attest to that. And it took a good hard knock on the head before the Lord woke me up and changed my life. Huh? But go ahead. It was a good size tube before I put it that way. It was so remarkable, but it came from worship. I was just in church, just had my hands raised, and I was just singing to Him. I didn't care who heard me around me or anything. I was just singing to Him. And then, boom, before I knew it, I was healed. And then 3 days later, this black, ugly, nasty stuff came out of my body like you would. It's just nasty. That's all I can explain. I was a dead man until that happened. And it was such a wonderful, wonderful day. And when I get discouraged, I always fall back on my my salvation, the day of my salvation. It just builds me right back up. Now, worship is expected publicly and privately. Amen? Yes. Believers are expected to participate regularly in corporate worship. Is that not true? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's expected of us. Mikey and I just were playing with a Lutheran. He was from...
Lutheran, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
His name was
played
Mike.
Played golf, yeah. And
heck of a golfer, man.
Yeah. So, you know, we can see some difference.
Yes.
Yeah. So it was interesting. So turn to Hebrews 10:25. You guys know this by heart. This is what our men's breakfast is founded on. Hebrews 10:25. Well, it's 10:23-25, but we're gonna look at 25. Everyone there? Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Three things I see here in this one little verse. First, the first is we're not to forsake the assembly. Mm-hmm. Not to forsake it. Now, we know that I was in that habit. And the only way you can break a habit is just walk away from it. Just break it. Step away from it. And go just do the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing. The second thing I see here is we are not to stop encouraging one another. And the third thing is we must increase in these things as we see the day drawing near. And that's going to be vital for us in our future. Mm-hmm. That we are together when these troubled times come. And they're coming. They're not very far off. We each and every one of us know that. And so we need to be ready for that. So when these doors are open down here, when these things are offered at our church, be part of it. I can't encourage you enough not to be part of it. But do it. Be part of it. Get involved in it. Don't leave it up to the teachers and the pastors to encourage or to build up. We need to all do that for each other. It's vital for our life. in the future. Because we know ugly times are coming. And remember this, Christianity is not isolation. It's not. It never has been isolation. As you can read that from Genesis all the way to the end of the book. It has never been isolated. It's always been open and pushing forward all the time. The New Testament describes the church with three different types of metaphors, like body. You've heard that, right? Describes the church as body. All right? We each have a body, right? I have a body. What do you do for that body that you have?
You take care of it.
Yeah, you take care of it. And it doesn't make no difference how much it costs. You're going to take care of the body. That's the way we're supposed to be with each other, is taking care of the body of Christ. And that's in 1 Corinthians 12:12. So if you turn over there, we'll see this. Mikey, are you there? Go ahead and read it.
For even as the body is one, yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ.
So is also is Christ. So you see, we are members of the body, right? If you go on and read the rest of this to get the whole picture, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Okay? For the body is not one member, but many. Many. So if the foot says, well, I'm not going to go there. We know what that says. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body. Well, we know the rest of the story about the body. But if you jump down to verse 19, he says, if they were all one member, they would, where would the body be? That's a question that Paul is asking right here. So, if they were all one member, where would the body be? How would you answer that one?
Would not be one.
There wouldn't be one. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Be absent of life. He says, but now there are many members, but one body. So, we cannot say, if I'm a foot, I'm useless. We can't say that. So, God put us all together. So he also uses a metaphor as a household in Ephesians 2:19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, we cannot deny that, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Did you see the change there in those verses? He starts out as a household. You see that in verse 19? And then in verse 21, he changes it to a building. The reason for that, as we start out, we are part of God's household. Okay, we've been built up on a firm foundation as Jesus Christ is the cornerstone from the teachings of the prophets and the apostles. So we've been built up. So we're part of this household. But as we grow, and things get stronger and stronger, we become a building. And then that building can withstand everything that Satan can throw at us. When we're built up to that building in Christ. And that's what he's saying here. Go ahead, Manny.
I'm hoping there's a pattern of the assembling of saints. Mm-hmm. And the reference is our Sunday gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Thursday gathering.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it that way.
Okay.
I see it as the assembly of the saints being, when the finger hurts,
the whole body
we
hurts.
Take care of it,
yeah.
Because the whole body hurts.
Right.
When the toe hurts,
mm-hmm.
And we're seeing a lot of this with Artie,
mm-hmm.
with other, I know of four, five cases of diagnosis of we need to do further testing, two of which are being worked on right now. Artie has completed that mission,
mm-hmm.
And three have clean slates. God's working ways.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, have we had the assembly of the saints with, let's go check out and fix that part of the house that is damaged right now, that is hurting right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm seeing out of this. And if we say you have to be in church on Sunday, I think we're getting a little bit legalistic.
Right, that's legalistic.
Opinion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. However, it is a very
because we're free. We've been set free. So
correct.
Yeah.
And I believe it's very important because how do you know when the toe is hurting? How do you know when the knee is hurting?
That's
part
the assembly.
Of coming together on
yeah,
Sunday.
Coming together. Right.
Getting to know the family and
mm-hmm.
the house.
You're absolutely right.
Am I right in this thinking, or is it a little skewed?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. If like you said, if my brother is hurting or my sister is hurting, and I need to come alongside and help, and whatever I can do, starting with prayer first, of course, and then if I have the ability of any way or sort, then I can offer that ability to help
a
brother
or
sister.
And not to be taken wrong.
Yeah.
When the finger hurts, that doesn't mean all 10 toes rush over there to try to. Each one's given a different gift, as
sure.
a
sure. Yeah.
So I'm not meaning everybody has to take care of that one situation.
The reason we heard people should be in the church on Sunday, Wednesday, Thursday
mm-hmm.
is not because we shouldn't neglect a small group or individual contacts with others. But that there are people who come up with an excuse, I don't have to be in the church to grow in the Christ, or they
mm-hmm.
always come up with some reason why they don't have to. The real reason they don't want to go to church is because they don't want to be accountable.
Correct.
But to counter those excuses, pastors start to use this as I myself as well, and do not neglect using this verse,
mm-hmm.
do not neglect the assembly of people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it includes the Sunday morning service, but like this gathering, it is important.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, how do you know when you don't get together? How do you know the part of your body of Christ is hurting because
mm-hmm.
that person is not here? And whether you guys believe it or not, if the person do not show up for two to three weeks. We have a people do the follow-up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We
yeah.
contact people.
Mm-hmm.
I ask some people to, I contact those people, would you contact this person? And Gary and Mary are one of them, and Rene Hamby is another one.
Yeah.
And then it just snowballs from there. It just gets larger and larger, and before we know it, we hear praise reports like John McDonald,
mm-hmm.
whose test all came back negative. And he was, slated to go for another appointment to be checked on, and they just, don't come, we don't need to.
Right.
Yeah. So that just happened. So that's what happens. And our assembly together is very, very important, especially when we see these days getting closer to the end. There is so much going on in the world that we cannot grasp all of it. So thank God that he's got it all controlled. Let me ask you this question. It just came to my mind. How many of you have ever asked God, said, thank you, God, for not answering my prayer? Yeah. That's worship. That's worship. Yeah. So, our Heavenly Father knows what he's doing. He has everything in his control at all times. And everything that we've read in this book will come to pass. We will see Jesus face to face. Each and every one of us. There's no denying that. And it's like that's another thing I was working on for the next lesson is about losing heart and how easy it can come about. So, is there anything else anybody want to add to that before we go ahead and close? Go ahead.
Kind of back towards when we look at God, we just, we look at ourselves and, we're worthless. From God's perspective, he's put inside of
mm-hmm.
every human being.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can, no matter what person looks on me, I can see it. I want to know what it is. Maybe we won't know everybody, but, I think God build them up. I think we all need that.
Mm-hmm. The day we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior is the day that our worth comes. It's, yeah, it's priceless worth. Go to Romans 10. You guys know this by heart. Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10. Just a reminder. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we are preaching. And look at verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be what?
Saved.
For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Amen.
Amen.
That settles it. For me, that settles it. So, anything else? Go ahead.
You said there were body and we did the household.
Yeah, we did. You had the body, the household, and then the building.
Would assembly fit into that too?
Huh?
Would assembly fit into that too?
Sure. I mean, it's part of the body. Yeah. Yeah, we're all part of the body. We are all one. So let's don't be bickering.
Right.
What'd you say?
What'd I say?
What's your problem?
I don't know what you're saying.
So everybody's got a copy of the prayer request? If you have, let's go ahead and pray.